The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The answer.
All right, everybody. It is 9 minutes after eight. Welcome to hour number two, 866-660-5759. So operating on multiple tracks, last night's Democrat debate, how'd that work out? How'd that work out if you are a Democrat voter? We're glad to have you in the audience. As a Trump supporter, how did it work out for you in terms of surveying the opposition landscape? And it is a heavy political season every day. We are in early voting, takes us closer to our own March 3rd primary. And so a lot of races are on our minds with regard to that today. 866-660-5759. Anything else on your mind? Because as we work our way and march our way through another week. And dude, it's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday, and boom, here we are. You know, another weekend. Holy cow! There are things that might not even occur to me that are worthy of the talk show universe. So grab a line 866-660-5759. There's a stretch. I've got little excerpts from the debate last night, but there's one portion I want to do in a few minutes. I'm going to do calls first. There's one thing I want to do that sort of gives you an idea of the ebb and flow. It starts out with Mike Bloomberg's first words on the debate stage, and they were pretty well his only words on the debate stage for like the first hour. At one point, I thought he was in the parking lot, you know, grabbing a Pepsi. He spent $300 million for this, you know, and days upon days of debate prep for this. But the headline, if you're just joining us and wiping the sleepies and good, heading into the talk show world, hi, here we are. Welcome to Thursday. And here's the bottom line. Bloomberg did not have a good night. How much does it matter? Maybe not very much at all. His ads are still going to be everywhere. Millions upon millions of people did not see him stub his toe last night, did not see Elizabeth Warren just own him on past workplace jokes or whatever it is. You got a non-disclosure agreement for some stupid joke? I don't know. And a number of other things. I'm still Mike Gallagher's words are still ping ponging around in my head. Did y'all know that he had it in for Elizabeth Warren to that degree? I know the guy like a brother. I didn't. I guess with Elizabeth Warren fading from the stage until last night, that it seemed a little less relevant. I'm just really trying to figure what really is it about her? What are the things that make, I mean, Mike was almost apologetic about the venom that he feels for Elizabeth Warren. She's just another prattling pseudo-professorial lib whose ideas are no better or no worse than anybody else on that stage for the most part. I guess there might be something that might hype you up against her if you think she's a real threat to Trump, which I don't. I don't think Mike does either. And it, in fact, it got me to thinking of the people on the stage last night. Who do I have the biggest personal gripe against? I'm sorry, that's kind of a parlor game, I guess, because I've always said the only thing I ever want to say about a liberal is you're mistaken. All right. Now, obviously, if you're trying to run the country, then your bad ideas are a threat to me, my family, my wealth, my liberty. And then it does kind of become personal. But even then, it's just political. It's bad policies. But sometimes politicians can make it personal, because if you're just coming at me with bad ideas, I can beat those down to the ballot box and I can keep you out of office on election day. But if you come at me with insults of what I am, okay, what I believe, not just disagreeing with what I believe, but mocking it, deriding it, and with that, millions of people who are of like mind. It's like Hillary is just a huge compendium of bad ideas until she comes out with that deplorables comment. That is deeply personal. Now, and that means I don't just oppose her. I actively don't like her. Now, I don't hate anybody. And now that she can't screw up my country anymore, I don't spend my time thinking about Hillary Clinton at all. I just don't. So here's the interesting thing. This might be a bit of a surprise. Because honestly, I mean, Bernie insults, my ideology every day at, on the every hour on the hour. But Bernie's Bernie. He's the real deal. He's a hammer and sickle all the way. And so, okay. I vociferously disagree with him. I don't feel personally affronted very much by Bernie. Bloomberg, nah. Maybe Klobuchar, I find sort of palatable, not ideologically, but, whatever. I got nothing against her. So you ready for this? You ready for this? You know who's kind of gotten under my skin personally more than anybody on that stage last night? Flippin' Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete, who has a certain likability, a certain smoothness, a certain affability that may serve him well. Maybe he's running for running mate at this point. I don't know. And I'll tell you what it is the religious bigotry. Pete Buttigieg's religious bigotry and flat making stuff up about scripture and attempting to rewrite it to pad his political nest. And his denigration of people who take the Bible seriously and believe what it actually says and don't make crap up like he does. That's a big stinking problem. And that's the oh so happy, smiley, likable young man, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. But even then, I don't find myself going off on him the way Mike came at Elizabeth Warren with like multiple Gatling gun barrels. That was crazy. It was interesting, though. It was interesting. 866-660-5759. All right. Let's see. Oh, hang on. A possible theory. Hang on a minute. Hey, Brian. Mark Davis. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Hey. I'm good. I'm real good. I so relate to what Mike Gallagher says.
Yeah.
I mean, she makes my blood boil. She's fake. She's based her whole career on being a liar.
Mm.
And anybody that she dogs, I would have just turned to her and said, Pocahontas. She based her whole career on lying. It pretty much epitomizes the Democratic Party. The big winner was Trump. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah,
but Elizabeth Warren makes me want to go jump in the
water. Okay. I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you. All righty. 866-660-5759. We are in Garland. Rick. Hey, Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me on.
My pleasure.
I wanted to bring up the propositions on the Republican Party primary ballot, one in particular, Proposition 7,
mm-hmm.
is to protect all monuments in the state of Texas, especially the war memorial in front of the Alamo, the cenotaph that they're trying to move out of there.
Correct.
And probably tear it up doing it. And I just wanted to get the word out on that because most people don't know that's even on the ballot.
Yeah,
they don't go down the ballot.
Right. The ballot propositions sometimes get lost in the wash. And these are not binding, but they're kind of a poll, if you will, an opinion poll of Republicans. Let me share the one you're talking about, and then I'll take a quick walk through all of them and see what we think. Number 7, Texans should protect and preserve all historical monuments, artifacts, and buildings, such as the Alamo Cenotaph and our beloved Alamo, and should oppose any reimagining of the Alamo site. That's pretty broad. I mean, that essentially means hands off the Alamo, don't touch it. And you know what? I like that. I love the Alamo as is. I don't need it Disneyfied. I don't need it updated. I don't need glowing plexiglass or animatronics. Not that that's necessarily in the offing. I love the Alamo just as the Alamo just as simple and as beautiful and as lyrical and as significant as it is today. Love it.
I totally agree.
Right.
And if we get a huge vote on that, the Texas Historical Commission is voting later in March on whether to issue the permit to move it. So that's one reason. If we get a tremendous vote on this, that could well affect what they do. It could actually stop it.
And I'll tell you what, I will gladly spend some more time talking about that. And Rick, I'm going to tell you something. There are 10 propositions. I'm going to take a fast walk through all of them. I'm going to do it next because of the occasion of your call, and I appreciate it. And I'll give you a quick lightning reaction of mine, and maybe we'll throw these into the mix. Because again, these none of these are going to change law immediately. It is essentially a big email that we're all going to send on election day to Republicans in Texas, because again, in Texas, we do have Democrats. We just don't let them run the place, and about how we feel about certain stuff. So it's 8:19. Sit tight, come back. I'm going to dive in, and I'll post all these propositions on Twitter and on the Mark Davis Show Facebook page, so you can follow along and check back on those later. I'll do that while you listen to these. Mark Davis, 8:19. Our favorite Steely Dan album. I don't know. Answers will differ.
People got to shout to stay on.
Mine might be The Royal Scam from 1976.
They don't even have Policeman One.
Containing Sign In Stranger.
Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done.
On our musical birthday list today, Walter Becker, who would have been 70 today. Steely Dan is Walter Becker and Donald Fagen and a collection of other musicians that have surrounded them for 50 years. Walter Becker passed away 2017, and so he would have been 70 today, so a little Steely Dan in the category. Donald Fagen still around and still touring. 866-660-5759. Okay, you ready? Let's take a walk through these. Here are the Republican primary ballot propositions. Number one, Texas should not restrict or prohibit prayer in school. There's a conversation starter. So I'll tell you what, rather than start 15 talk shows, as long as this refers to students doing things on their own time, groups doing things within rules before, after, whatever, that don't interfere with class time or blah, 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 of course that is a proposition I would agree with. Number two, Texas should reject restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms. Seems like an instant yes, right? Is there any, even the red flag laws are a bad idea. I'm trying to think, there's nothing working its way through the pipeline that says, hey, let's allow the M1 Abrams tank or a howitzer on the second floor of your apartment building. So at the moment, that's another firm yes as well. Texas should reject restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms. Number three, Texas should ban the practice of taxpayer-funded lobbying, which allows your tax dollars to be spent on lobbyists who work against the taxpayer. That's a yes. Number four, Texas should support the construction of a physical barrier and use existing defense-grade surveillance equipment along the entire southern border of Texas. Okay, wait a minute. Obviously, wall, thumbs up. Strong border, thumbs up. By Texas should support the construction of that barrier? What does that mean? Does that mean we pay for it? No. That is a federal government thing. That is, I know it's the Texas-Mexico border. It's the United States-Mexico border. The definition of federalism is the states are left alone to do what is their business and pay for it, and the federal government addresses and pays for the things that are its responsibility. The border is Congress's responsibility. So that's kind of a curveball. Does it mean conceptually we support the physical barrier? Because obviously, but I have zero interest in my Texas tax dollars paying for that thing. That is a congressional issue. Number five, Texas parents or legal guardians of public school children under the age of 18 should be the sole decision makers for all their children's health care decisions, including but not limited to psychological assessment and treatment, contraception, and sex education. Yes, yes, yes. And you know where that's headed, don't you? You know what that's about, don't you? To a large part. Well, guess what? That's addressed exactly in number six. This may be one of the most important ones on here. Everything's important, but I mean in terms of making sure that we make clear our feelings on this. Number six, Texas should ban chemical castration, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, genital mutilation surgery on all minor children for transition purposes, given that Texas children as young as three are being transitioned from their biological sex to the opposite sex. Hell yes, excuse me, on six. Seven is leave the Alamo alone. We covered that one, absolutely. Number eight, Texas election officials should heed the directives of the Office of the Governor to purge illegal voters from the voter rolls and verify that each new registered voter is a U.S. citizen. Yes, yes, yes. Number nine, bail in Texas should be based only on a person's danger to society and risk of flight, not that person's ability to pay. Give you that one again. Number nine, bail should be based only on a person's danger to society and risk of flight, not that person's ability to pay. All right. I've heard rumblings about this. Seems like bail ought to be bail. And we all know the reasons why anybody ever is denied bail. Everybody gets bail unless they feel like you're a danger to society. You may commit the crime again. Or number two, you're a flight risk. If there's little belief, maybe no belief that you'll commit the crime again, and no belief that you're going to skip town to try to avoid trial, you're a pretty prime textbook candidate for bail. Is bail being dumbed down because somebody just happens to be of modest means? Guess what? Sorry. I think I would completely agree with that one as well. If bail is what it is, should be what it is for certain crimes. If person A and person B commit the same crime, seem to not be a flight risk, seem to not be a risk to commit the crime again, then bail is what it is. And having that dumbed down just because person A makes $100,000 a year and person B is unemployed, nope. No, that seems like a violation of equal justice, doesn't it? And number 10, Texas should limit our state legislators' terms to 12 years. Term limits. It's a talk show host's best friend. I understand. I've always grasped the general affection for term limits. And you know how most people feel about term limits? They favor them for everybody, but they're represented. I like my guy. I want to vote for him forever. Texas should limit our state legislators' terms to 12 years. You know what the best argument against term limits is in Washington? And it has kept me from being a full-throated supporter of term limits. I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to worry about it if it happens. I mean, that's it. The idea of a citizen legislator, people not being in office for 50 years. But the fact is that if you do have term limits, let's say in Washington, guess who's not term limited out? Lobbyists, folks in the swamp, denizens of the unelected ivory towers. And these newbies and neophytes are going to get rolled by these veterans of the swamp. And Austin may be one of the worst environments of that at all. So all these new, fresh faces, you're going to be putty in the hands of old, grizzled power brokers in the lobbying community. I've always, and you know what? Lately, haven't we seen evidence that when we really want to get rid of somebody, we do? I mean, more often than not, right? I think my ideal perfect world. You know who you know what term limits are called? Every election. I think that's my favorite thing. Alrighty, also on my list of favorite things, Gordon Griffin News Updates, 833, Mark Davis. Here's Gordon, then right back on the phones with you at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. In In the musical birthdays, it's Guys I Really Love Who Passed Away in 2017 Day. Yeah! Already did Walter Becker of Steely Dan. Here's some Jay Giles Band and Loveitis. Gotta hold on me, Jay Giles. Would have been 73 today, Peter Wolf. Love this album. Hotline from 1975. You're the night, baby. Now, do understand that that is not Jay Giles. That's Peter Wolf, the guy, the front man. Ain't got but one description. He said, I got a thing called. I may play this whole thing. It's got control on me. Love, don't worry, I'm just kidding. It's got control on me. Loveitis is actually an R&B record from 1967. And they did some covers. Jay Giles was the guitarist and founder of the, obviously, Jay Giles Band. I was thinking, how many acts are like have the name of somebody that's not singing? I guess one of the big ones, I guess, is like Elvin Bishop. Remember Fooled Around and Fell in Love? Fooled Around and Fell. Yeah, the Elvin Bishop's on guitar. You know who the vocal is on Fooled Around and Fell in Love? That would be Mickey Thomas, who later hung out with the folks of with Grace Slick and the folks of Starship there for a while. All right. All that's free of charge. Woohoo! 866-660-5759. All right, I got more Democrat excerpts, but let's do some phone calls. Just how did this all shape out last night? The one thing I really, just my one, I got 53 takeaways, but here's the really important one. No single moment in any single debate necessarily changes anything. It can, but in this fast-moving, shake-and-bake, moving, grooving, some new news cycle brings something else kind of world, Mike Bloomberg's weak performance last night may not be as damaging as you think. I mean, if you're really plugged into stuff and watching this thing and, you know, steeped in the analysis of it, you're thinking, oh, man, how does he recover from this? You know how he recovers from this? Day upon day upon day upon day of running those hundreds of millions of dollars in ads and relying on attracting the attention and support of people who did not even see the debate last night. There are far more people who did not see the debate last night than there are people who did. So as Elizabeth Warren just eviscerated him on non-disclosure agreements, various other things, I mean, did that, you know, take a few layers of skin off of Bloomberg? Yes. Does it matter in the long run? Might or might not. Because here's the thing. Here's what makes this Democrat field perpetually wide open. There's something the matter with everybody. There is something the matter with absolutely everybody. Bloomberg, I mean, there's something the matter with him now, not great on the debate stage. The other things that, and there are people who are hammering him about, oh, he's trying to buy the election. That's so phony. I wrote a Dallas Morning News column. It's there at dallasnews.com. Opinion, find me there. If somebody happens to have a massive checkbook and can self-fund, let it go. They're either going to prevail or, you know, it's up to voters to decide. Ultimately, the decision is going to be ours. The system is going to work. But Bloomberg does, you know, carry some stigma. He either does or does not recover from when he used to not be as liberal as he seemingly is. Now, it's funny. There's no doubting that President Trump is more conservative than he was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. No doubting he has made a conservative journey, and I'm thrilled by that, and I love it. Mike Bloomberg has become more liberal. He was always a liberal Republican, just right of center, now not really so much anymore. He now derides things that he once supported. Stop and frisk absolutely made New York safer. He's just trying to to cleanse and purge himself from every Republican idea he ever had. That's either going to work or it's not. There's a big X factor here. I probably need to play the part where Elizabeth Warren came after him on the non-disclosure agreements. NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, are usually the way it works is it means you did something that's kind of embarrassing and you don't want it to get out. And so you pay somebody to shut up. They willingly take the money because they're glad to have the money. And I guess it doesn't mean that much to them to mouth off about it. So everybody's happy. It's consensual. And there you are. Now, if you got those things hanging in the breeze and Elizabeth Warren chooses to pick them off of you like scabs, it can make for some pretty awkward moments. And Bloomberg's whole point was, well, those were all consensual. I'm going to stick by it. And she said, no. I'm asking you, are you willing to release these women from their non-disclosure agreements right now and tell them they can speak out about them? Well, first of all, it was a genius question by her, but it's a problematic one because bottom line is they've cashed the checks. Their silence has been bought. So all of a sudden now saying, go ahead, spew all you want about, you know, some joke I told or something I did. That ain't right. And non-disclosure agreements are unbelievably common, especially in the world of business. And sometimes they involve things that aren't very big at all. Sometimes they are. She really just had him on the ropes, though, because it made him look, because it's funny, because whatever they were, and Bloomberg's retort was, nobody ever said I did anything wrong other than, I love this, they might not have liked a joke I told. Well, kind of depends on the joke, doesn't it, Mike? I don't know. I mean, there have been some careers ended for jokes here in the cancel culture, which the Democrats brought you, by the way. So it was rough. So I do not know if that. And Elizabeth Warren's point was, this is not just about honesty and openness; it's about electability. Do we want to have somebody running against Trump who just has this drip, drip, drip of what did you do to some woman where you had to pay her off and buy her silence? So Bloomberg, damaged goods. Bernie Sanders, a benefited yesterday. He absolutely benefited last night, totally, because everybody else was sniping at each other. Everybody's going after Bloomberg. Nobody really went after Bernie. Bloomberg tried to, offering the communism reference. We support capitalism. We've tried the other thing. It's called communism. It didn't work, and that really got under Bernie's goat. Oh, don't speak ill of communism. You're talking family here. Sorry. But Bernie emerged pretty unscathed as the continuing front runner. But following Bernie around like a cloud is the narrative that Trump would beat him like a drum, which seems true. You know, but there's that's Bernie's stigma. Mayor Pete and Amy Klobuchar, they just don't seem ready for prime time. They just ultimately don't seem quite ready for prime time. And Biden, we're just going to have to see. Biden may be a dead man walking unless South Carolina comes along to defibrillate him. I don't know. So there's something the matter with everybody. So if out of those, all those folks who were on stage last night, there's something damaging that could take one or two or three or four of them out in pretty short order, especially with a huge pile of votes coming on March 3rd on Super Tuesday, when Democrats in states as big as Texas and California weigh in on all the above. All righty, 866-660-5759. We are in Dallas. Paul, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi. One thing that candidates and also the moderators have in common is what I call carbon phobia. They look at carbon as a poison or a virus or something.
You mean carbon dioxide?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, they'll use the term carbon, you know, and we have to reduce carbon.
Oh, but carbon emissions, yeah. Right.
Yeah, carbon emissions. But, you know, all life forms on Earth are carbon-based.
Correct.
Every plant, every blade of grass, every tree. You know, do you know what the, monuments, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, do you know what they're made of? They're made of India and a limestone, which is calcium carbonate.
Yep.
Which means it's made of calcium
and carbon.
And do you realize how much limestone, travertine is in the planet? There's always been carbon in the atmosphere.
Yep.
You know, every seashell that you see, every coral is all made of calcium carbonate. So all life needs carbon. I just don't get this carbon phobia.
I think ultimately you do, because they need, because since we are, our factories are cleaner, our coal mining is cleaner, our cars are cleaner, the emissions that we're putting into the atmosphere are far less than they were in, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. By the way, after belching all that garbage into the atmosphere, what happened in the 1970s? Global cooling. I rest my case. So they need something. They need something so that this climate change fantasy can seem pervasive, so that no matter what we do to continue to clean up ourselves, clean up our lives, we got to talk about people's carbon footprint. We got to invent toxins that are not toxins, invent pollutants that are not pollutants, all designed to snow and hoodwink people into believing the urgency of their climate change disaster fantasies. 866-660-5759. We are in Plano. Aaron, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
How are you? Very good.
Hi.
Sorry, very good. regarding that debate and all that stuff last night, mm-hmm. we got to take into account a few things. The DNC is operationally broke and has been for the better part of 3 years. The media have memories of mush when it comes to Democrat foibles and just founderings. You know, their flops, their recklessness, all that stuff. Mike Bloomberg has a checkbook of tungsten. And I think that, you know, provided, I mean, we know what they are. They're just quibbling over price at this point.
Yeah, it's what a great point. It's an old Churchill story that relates to that. There, with all of the sharp elbows being thrown, it is worth remembering that everybody on that stage, 90% shares the same terrible ideas, which for conservatives is just as easy clarity that they are all to be opposed. But, and it's funny, for Democrats, it means that it's really ultimately about style. Aaron, thank you. I mean, it's about which person, you know, whose name and face and, you know, an image do you want attached to those horrible ideas? And to Democrats, they're not horrible ideas. To their ideas of weak borders and higher taxes and penalizing wealth and plugging back into that terrible Paris Climate Accord and that terrible Iranian nuclear deal, and just all of these liberal ideas, they're largely shared by all of them. So it depends on. So do you want of a guy who's almost 80, but who shows amazing energy despite a heart attack and has a pretty big fan base, Bernie Sanders? Do you want somebody who's almost 80 and did okay last night and might have the kind of broad appeal to do well against Trump? That's Biden. Do you want a woman of in her mid-70s with boundless energy and the willingness to go at people on both a debate stage and against a Republican opponent? That's Elizabeth Warren. Do you want the guy who's who throws a couple of curveballs by being under 90 and gay and with a resume that may not be as thick as some of the others, but that maybe that makes him a little more refreshing? That's Pete Buttigieg. Do you want somebody who's has Senate experience but doesn't seem to be as bug-eyed extreme as Bernie Sanders? That's Amy Klobuchar. Or do you want Bloomberg? The degree of difference just really is not that much. It's all about what they say, how they say, the ads they run, and the sort of the campaign style that they bring to the battle. 8:53, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Me, Dr. Wu, are you really just a shadow of the man that I want?
Should I just ping pong back and forth?
Are you crazy?
Between Steely Dan and Jay Giles Band because of the birthdays of Jay Giles and Walter Becker? Maybe I will. Little Dr. Wu from Katie Lides. The great Steely Dan. Walter Becker would have been 70 today. Passed away 3 years ago. They'll take us out and into the 9 o'clock hour. So grab a line, 866-660-5759. Much more to come, and a lot of it is you bringing stuff to me. So calls next. Stick around. It's a big Thursday show.